Begin the current daf, Masechtas Brachos, daf Lamed Vav. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we said that the laws of the Bechor, especially Bizman Hazed, there's nothing to do with it when it's a tam until it develops a blemish. However, it has to happen by itself. If a person deliberately goes ahead and does that, then we penalize him and he cannot go ahead and utilize it because he deliberately inflicted, which is forbidden to be done. Now, then there's an authentication process to verify that it happened by itself. Now, we said that someone has to go ahead and testify regarding that. We had a machlekes in the previous staff who could, but that it has to be verified. Now, Ibailu, the following question that continues on this theme. They said, Eid mipi eid. If someone witnessed that it happened by itself, and then he told it over to someone else, and that person now is telling us that this mum happened by itself, ma'ala eidus b'char, what's the halacha regarding the testimony of the firstborn, if he wants to testify that this blemish was not deliberately done, could we go ahead and verify it from a secondhand source? So Rav Ashi says that's forbidden. Rav Ashi Shari says it's permitted. Now, Amli Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, but Vatana Debe Menashe was taught in the Braisa of the Yeshiva Menashe that Ein Eid Mipi Eid Kasher El Eid Asisha. Regarding testimony, secondhand testimony doesn't work. There's one exception regarding if a woman's husband died overseas, which the only way to then permit her to remarry is to verify that her husband died. That's the one place that we allow Eid Mipi Eid. So obviously we see that it doesn't work over here by the laws of Bechor. So now he answers him, no, Tani, you have to learn that Braisa, Ela le'edus she'isha k'sher le'bovad. It's not for edus isha regarding testimony regarding a woman. It's only for something that a woman herself would be valid to testify. And testimony regarding the blemish in the firstborn animal, a woman is also valid. As the Gemara had said in the previous daf, the halacha is like Reb Shimon, who says even the sons and daughters of the Kain is believed to say that the blemish happened by itself. So we see that a daughter, a woman, is believed, and therefore it would work by Eid Mipi Eid too. Now, Rav Yemer, Achshar Eid Mipi Eid Bebuchar, he validated secondhand testimony regarding the blemish that happened by itself by the firstborn animal. And Kari Le Meremer said on him, Yemer Shari Bukhra. He's Yemer, the one who permits the firstborn animals, which was said in a derogatory form. Now, but says the Gemara, V'Hilchos HaLachah is Eid Mipi Eid, Kashal Eid Bebuchar. Actually, secondhand testimony is valid regarding the permissibility of the blemish of the firstborn animal. Now, Amr Beloy, he says, if let's say, in this lamb, there was no presumption, no one knew that this animal was a firstborn animal. And then the kayin, the owner, came along. He says, I want you to know, it's a firstborn animal. But there's a blemish with it that I didn't deliberately go ahead and do in this lamb. And he's coming to show it to the sage to say, is it a permanent blemish or is it a passing blemish? That says Rabbi Loi that Neman, he's trusted because of the concept of Hapesha Aser, his mouth is what made this lamb forbidden by saying it's a Bechor, and who hit her, he's the one that permits it by saying, but the blemish happened by itself. Now that's the Gemara wonders, my Kamash Malon, what's Rabbi Loi teaching? Shapesha Aser, who Hapesha hit her? This concept that the mouth that made it forbidden, that's a migu to say, I didn't have to say anything, and then it would have been permitted. But I said that it's a Bechor, so therefore believe me also when I say the blemish happened by itself. But Tanina, that's a Mishnah we already learned, Masechet Ksubas. Mishnah says, Ha'isha Sha'amra, if a woman comes along and she says, Eishas Ish Ha'yisi, I was a married woman, but no one ever knew that this woman was married. Ugrushani, but I want you to know that I got divorced. So the Mishnah says, Nemenis, so she's believed, and therefore she's permitted to go out and get married to someone else. Why? Sha'pesha Asa, who Ha'pesha Hitter? The mouth that made it forbidden, we didn't know, we thought she's single. But she's the one that says it's problematic, so she can go ahead and say that it's not problematic by saying, yeah, but I got divorced. So already know this concept, what do we need Rabbi Loi to teach us? Says the Gemara, what would you say? Hasam hu di ibayim. No, maybe only within the Mishnah Masechet Kesubas. If the woman wanted, lo yamra, she didn't have to say. In other words, if we would be suspecting this woman that she really is married right now and she's not divorced, but she wants to go ahead and marry another man, so she would have been quiet. She wouldn't have told us, Eishas Isha Yisi, that I'm a married woman, and because we presumed her to be single. So, from the fact that she's telling us, so she's opening it up, so then she could go ahead and ameliorate that and rectify that by saying, yeah, but I got divorced. Aval hacha, but over here in the case of the firstborn animal, deloy sagi, deloy amra. No, it wouldn't be possible for the person not to tell us that this is a firstborn animal, because he needs to go ahead and ask the sage if it's a permanent blemish or passing blemish. Why? Because the kachim, because regarding unblemished kachim, which is Bukhar is in that category, Bachutz loy achel. We're not suspecting a kohen to go out and eat a valid Bukhar, a valid kachim, which has to be sacrificed inside, or if when the Beis HaMikdash, if it would be around, to go out and eat it outside, because that's a punishment of karis. Now, he is suspect, however, to go out, however, and deliberately make a blemish, because that's just what's called a lav balma. That's just a negative prohibition, but there's no punishment of karis. So therefore, emo loy ha-pesha asahu. I would say, no, he's not willfully offering this idea which he didn't have to say. No, he had to go ahead and say it's Bukhar, because he needed to go and permit it, because he would never go ahead and violate a karis unless it's permitted and it's verified that it's a mum kavua. So therefore, I would say he doesn't have that mikri. Kamash Mulan, that's what Rebbe Loi comes to teach us. Then no, he has the pesha asahu pesha hitter. Why? Because the imishem hachi, because if that would be the case, that yeah, we would say that maybe he did inflict the blemish and he should not be believed. No, because havishadi be'mumba denikr, then he would have gone inflicted a recognizable, full, bona fide blemish that even for an ignoramus it would be considered, it would be recognized as a blemish, and then he would not have had to come in front of us and to tell us, oh, that it's a bechor, because no one would know that it's a bechor. And also, it wouldn't enter the realm of doubt regarding kachim achutz, because it would be a recognizable blemish, and va'achale, and therefore he would go ahead and eat it. And therefore, that's the chiddush Rebbe Loi, that from the fact that he's coming, and he didn't have to come, because he would not have been in the situation of kachim achutz, because he would have gone and given it a real, if he was doing it himself, a real bona fide blemish, and he would have known that it's not kachim achutz. The fact that he's coming, and he didn't have to, and therefore he has pesha asa, so therefore he has the pesha hitter. Now, the reason why Rebbe Loi had to say in the way that he said it was because, but if we knew that it was a Bechayr, then you wouldn't be able to save this whole discussion, because obviously he would have to come. Because if he would slaughter without being brought in front of a Mumcha, and everyone knows the Bechayr, everyone would suspect him. And therefore he would have to come, and therefore he would lose the Pesha Asa, and therefore that's why Rebbe Loi said his halacha only in a situation where Lohoy Mazaka Moshe Bechayr. And then he came along and said, it's Bechayr, but Umumu Imoy, that's why he's named because of the Pesha Asa or Pesha Hitter, which we would not have known from the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. But the Gemara asks, Maskevlo Ma Bar Rav Ashi, says, but Maishnama Hu Gavra, why is this case different than the following story of that a certain person, the Ugali Chamer L'Chaber, he rented his donkey to his friend, Vamali, he said to him as follows, Loitezel Ba'urchud in Har Pekoid, don't take the road that goes by the river Pekoid, Dikamai, because there's water over there, and therefore something bad's going to happen to the donkey, it's going to drown. Zil Ba'urchud in Narish, go in the road of Narish, to Lekamai, where there's no water. Now, Azl Ba'urchud in Har Pekoid, this guy went the wrong way. He went the way of the road of the river Pekoid. Umischamer, and the donkey died. Now, but Vasav Amali, he came and he reported back as follows. He says, look, I want you to know, Ba'urchud in the Har Pekoid Asli, I did go in the road of the river Pekoid, Umiyamai Lahava, but there was no water, and therefore I was not negligent, and therefore I should not be responsible. Now, Vamarav, he says, Malik Lashakar, we believe this guy, because why should he lie? Why should we say he's lying when he said that there was no water, and therefore he's not negligent on that end? If he wanted, he could have said, Borchud Narish Asli. Who would know any better? He could have said he went in the road of Narish, and we would have exempted him. And therefore, when he's saying that, I did go the way he said not, but he said because the water, but there was no water, so therefore we believe him. Which Vama Abai said, no. Malu Lishakar B'makam Edim, the migoy of saying, why should he lie, and therefore we should believe him, that's contradicted by witnesses. Where do we have witnesses over here? It's what's called anan sahadi. We testify, because we know every moment that road by that river has water. So lo yamrina, and so therefore we don't say that. Migoy, and therefore says Abaye, no, we're not going to believe him. So therefore the Gemara asks, here too, since we have an anan sahadi, we have witnesses, we, the world, testify that kahanim are suspect regarding blemishes, so therefore we should not say, mali l'shaker, well, why should he lie? So this guy who's coming, this kohen is saying, look, you know, no one knew that this was a Bechor, but I want you to know that Muma Imoy, so he's saying, oh, we believe him because of this migui of, well, why should he lie? He didn't have to say, so Pesha Asa or Pesha Hitter, but we see that when it's Mamaka Maidim, when we know we do suspect him of having deliberately inflicted it, that you don't have the migui. So why do we believe him? So Shikamar says, Hachi Hashtar, can you compare the two cases? Hasam Vadi Ikamaya. There in the story that was just brought, there we know definitively that there's water over there. And therefore, you're right, Malishaka, we're not going to believe him with the Migui because it's B'makom Edom. But the Gir says, Hach over here in the case that we're discussing, Vadei Shadi Bei Muma? What, you think we know the Kohen for sure inflicted the blemish? No, Chashashu, it's a suspicion. And this is what we said on the top of this summit from the previous stuff. But Makom Chashash Amrin, Mal L'Shaker. When there's only a situation of doubt, of suspicion, then we do believe him based on Mal L'Shaker. Why do you have to lie for? He didn't have to tell us that this was a Bechor to then say that the blemish happened by itself, and therefore we would believe him in contrast to the case of the donkey that we just brought. The Gemara says, incidentally, Yosef Ravina v'kamal l'hai shmaita. Ravina was sitting and he was saying over this teaching of Rabbi Loi regarding the nemanis that we trust and we believe when he says it's a bechor, but umum ma'ime that the blemish happened by itself. He said a beloi gaver without attributing it to anyone. He just said it, this halacha that if lohim achzakin that it was a bechor, and then he says that mumime that is neman. Omale Rabazuti Ravina, Rabazuti said Ravina, Anan Mishmeja Beloy Masninala. We learned this teaching that you said without attribution that it was the teaching of Beloy, like we mentioned it before. Now, Rib Tzadik Havalei Bucher, continuing on these halachas of the suspicion of Kahanim regarding inflicting a blemish deliberately, Rib Tzadik Havalei Bucher, he had a firstborn animal. And Ramalei Sari, he gave it barley to eat. Bisali, and the Girsa is in baskets of Nitzarim that were woven shell arava klufa of peeled willows. Now Bahadi Tikaachl, while his firstborn animal was eating, Ivza Sivse, it split its lip. Now Aslikamid Ribishua, he came in front of the Ribishua. Amalei, he asked him, Klum chilaknu bin chavalama arts, do we differentiate between Talmachacham, someone that's trusted in halachas, and the ignoramus? In other words, am I suspected to have deliberately inflicted this blemish by doing it in a way that it should get its split lip like another kain that's Amma Oretz, or me as a kain that I'm above that suspicion? So only Rishu said, yes, we do differentiate and you're not suspected and therefore you could go ahead and use this animal. Now, Asla Kamid Rabbi Gamliel, he then came in front of Rabbi Gamliel, and Amalei said to him, Chilaknu mei Chavala Amma Oretz, did we differentiate between the Chavar and Amma Oretz? Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, he says, no, we don't. Amalei, so he said to him, but Vari Bishu Amalei, Henry Bishu said to me, yes, that we do differentiate. So Amalei, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, Hamdim Nachayalo Bali Tresen, wait until the bearers of the shields, which refers to the Talmudic scholars who they fight the war of Torah, wait till they come Lebes HaMedrash into the study hall. Now, Kimi Shenichnus Lebes HaMedrash, once all the Talmudic Chama came into the Beis HaMedrash, Amal HaShoyel Vashal, so the questioner, Reb Tzadik, got up and he asked, Klum Chilakna bin Chaval Amma Arutz? He says, do we differentiate between a Chava and Amma Arutz? Amalei Rishua Lav, Rishua said to him, no, we don't. So Amalei said to him, V'alei Meshimcha Amrli Hen, but in your name they told me that we do differentiate. Yeshua Amar Al Raglecha V'yidabach, Yeshua, get up on your feet and let them testify against you. So Amalei Rishua Al Raglev Amar, so Rishua get up on his feet and he said, Hey Chesa, what should I do? I obviously can't refute him. Il Mali Ani Chai B'hu Mez, if I were alive and he was dead, so then I could deny and say I never said it. The living could deny the dead. But now that I'm alive and he's alive, how could the living refute the living? Most definitely, it's like he said that I said, but I retract. Now, Bahayir Mgliel, Megir says, Yeshabadosh. Mgliel was sitting and he was expounding. And he kept Yeshua standing on his feet. Until all the people were murmuring, and they said to the interpreter Chutzpahs, who was interpreting the drush of Mgliel, Amud, stop, meaning be silent, vomit, and he stopped. He was silent because of the disgrace of Rabbi Shua that he had to stand on his feet the whole drasha. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing this theme regarding the believability, regarding the permissibility of the Bechayr. Says the Mishnah, Nemana Koin Loimer, the Koin is believed to say, Heresi Bechayrza, I already showed this firstborn to the sage, and he told me that it's a permanent blemish, Ubamumu, and that it's blemished, and therefore he could go out and slaughter. Now, however, as long as he had witnesses that he himself did not inflict that blemish. Now, Amr Yehuda Merab says, Neman HaKoyin Loimer, the Kohen is trusted to say to the sage, B'chor Zeh Nosn Yisrael B'mumer. The sage is checking to see if it's permanent or not, but he's trusted to say that, although you generally have to verify, he said, it has nothing to do with me. This firstborn was given to me from the Yisrael already, that it was blemished in his possession, in his domain, and he gave it to me like this in a blemished state. And therefore, we don't have to authenticate if it happened by itself or not. And then he could just verify if it's kavua or oiver. My time, what's the reason? Kol milsa David de Legluya, anything that's ultimately going to be revealed, that you could verify it. Loy mishaka b'inshi, people are not going to lie. And since you could just go ahead and bring that to Yisrael and say, is that the case? So we believe him and not going to think that he's lying. Amar Vashi says, Afanana mitanina. He says, this is what we learned in the halach of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Neman ha-kohen loyim, the kohen is trusted to say, Hereisi b'chari zeh uba mumu. So you could say, I had already shown this to the kohen, I already got my kashrus, and it was blemished. My time, what's the reason? Isn't because anything that's ultimately going to be revealed, where you could bring the sage and ask him, and he could say, no, I didn't permit it. A person's not going to lie. So you see that this is the halach of our Mishnah. Shmuel says, no, truthfully I can tell you that even Milsa David Lagluy, even something that could ultimately be revealed, a person would lie. Hasim, who, however, over there in the halacha, the Mishnah, the reason why the Kayin is believed is because we don't suspect a Kayin, the Kachim b'chutz le'achal, because he's not going to eat a Kachim out of the Azara, and therefore, if the Kayin, if the sage really didn't permit it from him, so he would not have gone and permitted and slaughtered without having it permitted by the sage. So therefore, that's why we know, we could assume what he's saying, it's true, because, yeah, we don't suspect him for eating it b'chutz, unless it was actually permitted. Aval hacha, but over here, where he's showing it to the sage, and he's telling him, look, I want you to know, I want you to tell me if this is kosher or not, is it blemished or not, a permanent knot, but the blemish that you see over here was given to me by the Yisrael like this or not. Now, why is he saying this? Could be because he doesn't want to have to bring witnesses that it happened by itself, which he might not find, and then they're not going to permit it for him. So, kibin the chashidi, so since we suspect the kahanim, as we had said in the previous dafim, to go ahead and inflict the blemish himself and to say it happened by itself, so chashidi, so we suspect him also to inflict the blemish and to say that the Yisrael gave it to me in the blemish state. And because that's a lav ba'alma. So there actually, maybe we would suspect him, even though it's a bid legluye, and therefore it's not a rai from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, Masav Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi asks on this halacha, v'hudim harav, in the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. Mishnah says, if someone says to someone who he himself is not trustworthy regarding the laws of tithing of the maisers, he tells him as his agent, I want you to buy from me, from someone that's trusted, meaning that he himself, the guy, the seller, doesn't buy produce from an Ama Aretz, or from someone who, even though he buys from an Ama Aretz, but Ma'aser, he tithes that demai, which is this doubtful tevel that is purchased from the Ma'aretz, he tithes it before he sells. Either way, it's going to be kosher, it's going to be tithed. So on that says, the Mishnah, Enoi, this shlich is not neman, he's not trustworthy to say that, oh, he bought it from a trustworthy person. Now that the question is, am I? But why? Name, you should say this, halach of Rav, kol milsa David Lagluy, anything that's ultimately could be revealed. Le meshaka b'enshi, a person wouldn't lie about. So trust him, because if he's saying he bought from someone trustworthy, we can verify it afterwards and we can authenticate it. So why shouldn't we believe him? It says Gemara, no, Shani Hasim, there in that Mishnah is different as a continuum to Mitbeis, because the Isli Lishtamute, because he could get himself out of it and he could say, even if he ended up buying for someone that's not trustworthy, he could say, oh, okay, maybe for your stand he's not trustworthy, but I consider him trustworthy, and therefore he's not going to be afraid in the beginning to lie and take it from someone that's not trustworthy for a cheaper price, whatever it is, because he can get out of it. But when he cannot get out of it, then if it's ultimately going to be the Gluye, we could still say a person would not lie. Now, however, the Gemara says, actually, Seif of Vadimisayele. Not only is the Reisha not difficult on Rabbi Yehuda, but actually the Seif of that Mishnah actually supports Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Mishnah says, Me'ish Plaini. If the sender told him the name of the guy that he trusts, I want you to buy from that guy, then Harezen Nema. Then the Shlich, the agent, is believed. And the reason is because he's concerned that maybe the sender is going to take me to task and he's going to find out that I lied. Now, this Sefer most definitely supports Rabbi Yehuda because it's a Milsa Avud Legluya. It's going to ultimately be revealed. And we say, Loi Meshakri Vinci, that a person would not lie. To which the Gemara says, no, you can't support it from the Sefer of the Mishnah. Because Hasim over there, yes, there the Shliach, the agent, is going to be afraid. Kivin the Isla Taveya, since there's someone that's taking him to task because he sees the sender is very particular and he says the name of the guy that he wants him to go to. So therefore, Mirtas, therefore he's going to be afraid and he's going to think, okay, for sure he's going to take me to task. But regarding the laws of Bukhair, no, we could say this kind is not so afraid because he thinks, who's going to go ahead and verify and go and find out and ask that Yisrael if he gave it to me in the blemished state? Maybe, even though it could be Avud Ligluye, maybe he would still be Meshaka and if it's not a Raya from that Mishnah. Now, moreover, Amar B'Yimer Ba'abi says, Menol El Yehuda Ha. Where did Yehuda get this teaching that we quoted before, that he said that the Kohen is trusted to say that this Bechor was given to me by the Yisrael in the blemished state? Ano begidl kavate. I'm the one that taught this teaching to Gidl. The Gidl kavate b'didei, and Gidl is the one who taught this halacha to Rav Yehuda. And v'hachi amrle. And you know how I said it to Gidl? Not that the Kayin is believed to say this. Neman Yisrael Leimer. The Yisrael, who it was the firstborn in his flock, he's believed to say, Bechar zen, asat l'kayin b'mumi, that I gave it to the Kayin in the blemished state. But the Kayin himself, like we say, we're chayishashim, and no, we wouldn't believe him. Now the Gemara wonders, Yisrael pshita. If it's Yisrael, obviously he's believed, there's no negiyas over here, why shouldn't we believe him? Says Gemara, Loi, no, tzarech, it was necessary to say it, bekatan. When he had given it to the Kayin, the lamb was very small. The higdal, then it got big. Mao de tema lo kimli, what would you say that he's not so proficient in that lamb, because since the lamb got big, he doesn't really recognize it. Maybe this is not the lamb that he gave to the Kayin, it's a different one, and maybe the Kayin did inflict the blemish. Kamash Balan, that's what we have to say, that no, the Yisrael is believed, and we trust him, but not that the Kayin himself is trusted. Now, Besura, Masnu Kalish Nabasra. In Surah, they taught this teaching as in the second version, that it's only the Yisrael who is trusted, that he says he gave it to the Kayin of blemished state, but not to the Kayin would be. But Pumbadisa, Kalishna Kama, and Pumbadisa, they said like the first version, that even the Kayin is believed. And the Hilchas, Afala Kalishna Kama, the Hilchas, even like the first version, that we said, even the Kayin is believed, because since the Milsa Zabid Al-Gluye, he's not going to lie. Now the Gemara brings a story that Raphim and Pumbadisa, Raphim, who is from Pumbadisa, and they held that even the Kayin himself is believed to say that the Yisrael gave it to me in the blemished state, Havalei Bukhar. So he had a firstborn animal. He gave it to a Kohen without a blemish. Now, Azal Shad Be Mumah, that Kohen went and made the blemish in the animal. Now, Yom Echad Chalish, one day, Raphim was ill, Be'ene in his eyes. Now, I say, so that Kohen brought that firstborn animal, Likameh, in front of Raphim, that he should see if it's a permanent blemish. And that Kohen thought, okay, his eyes are hurting him. He's not going to recognize that this is the one he gave me without a blemish. And Amalai, and he said to Raphim, Bechor yizad nosan liYisrael b'mumay, which in Pumbadisa they trusted the Kohen. He says, this one was given to me by Yisrael already, in the already pre-blemished. And I just want to know if it's kavur or not. Now, arafsine le'ene, but still, Raphim went and he forced his eyes open, and chazi b'shikre, he recognized that this guy was lying, because he recognized this is the animal that he gave it to him without a blemish. So Amalei said to him, Lava nodi avisalach, isn't this the one that I gave you? You're a liar. You made the blemish, and obviously it's not going to be permitted for him. Now, Vafelahachi lechashlin, says the Gemara, even so, Raphim was not concerned lemilsa for the teaching that we had said, that, oh, to change now the halacha, that a kohen should not be believed anymore to say that this was given to me by Yisrael in a blemished state, because here we see that this was a kohen stating that claim, and he himself had done it. Because Haihu Dechatzav, this guy had a great audacity, because, first of all, he was a Mechatzav in two things. First of all, that he went and made a blemish, which is prohibited. Moreover, he went and he showed it to the sage himself that had given it to him. He should have at least given it to a different sage. And he had the audacity to take it back to the one who had given it to him in the unblemished state. And therefore, this guy is a mechutzav. Kulam alechatzifi. We don't assume everyone is so audacious. And therefore, you could still permit it if the Kohen says it was given to me by Yisrael in the blemished state. Another similar story, Ahu Saruah. There was this firstborn animal that had one large eye and one small eye, which is a mum. Which came in front of the Rav Ashi to inspect. Amar, he said, Lamai Nechishle, what should be the problem over here? E Kain hu, e Yisrael hu. He didn't recognize if the owner was a Kain or Yisrael, but he said, even if he's a Kain, which Kayanim generally suspected regarding the laws of the firstborn, there's no suspicion over here because this is genetic. This is how the animal was born. Hari Bukhari, Mumayimai, this is a firstborn with its blemish, and therefore it should be permitted. However, Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi, Ravina said to Rav Ashi, but Bedilma Yisrael hu, maybe the owner is a non Kain. Now, Vam Rav Yehuda said, "Ein Roin Bechar Yisrael." We don't go ahead and verify the blemish in the firstborn animal of Yisrael. Elam Ken Kain Imoy. Only if there's a Kain, they're ready to receive that blemish firstborn animal from the Yisrael. Because maybe if you're going to tell him that it's a permanent blemish, he's going to slaughter it and eat it by himself. Because since it's a permanent blemish, so really it's permitted for anyone to eat it. The thing is, but monetarily, it belongs to the Kain. But this person is not going to be concerned for Gezeila because people are a little bit lax in Gezeila and he's going to eat it by himself. So we see that you can't just permit it for him. He might be Yisrael and you have to have a Kain ready to take it. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to him, no, can you compare it to Rav Yehuda's halacha? Hasim, over there, but other blemishes that are not so stark, not so clear, you could suspect the Yisrael that maybe he might steal monetarily from the Kohen, where although he's an upstanding Jew generally, but regarding this halacha, that you're not going to slaughter only based on the sage verifying, nehi dekachim mechutz le'ochel, although, right, kachim out of the azara, he's not going to eat because that's the penalty of karas, whoever slaughters kachim b'chutz, however, amamayna dekayim, but regarding the money of the kohen, to steal from the kohen, which that's just Allah ba'ama, chashim, we would suspect him. So therefore, you have to have the Yisrael over there, because although he's careful regarding that he's coming to the sage to permit it, because he doesn't want to catch the b'chutz, but the kohen's money, we suspect him. But says Rav Ashi, hach over here in the case that I'm talking about, mechti letzi, yadidahai mum muvaku, this person obviously knew that this is a definite blemish, one eye bigger, one eye smaller. Everyone knows that it wasn't inflicted by the person. So my time has to come here, and why did he come in front of the rabbi to permit it to him? Mishum kvaydi dechacham must be because of the dignity, the honor for the sage. So if al kvaydi dechacham le'ovet, or as the gear says le'ovet, if he's not violating a precept of the dignity of a sage, so Yisur Ovid, you think he's going to go ahead and do a blatant prohibition? Most definitely he's not stealing, and therefore we can permit of him, and he just wants to go ahead and follow on the process, and if he's showing the honor to the sage, he's for sure going to go ahead and give it to the kohen, the blemished state. He's not going to steal it from the kohen. Which again is different than the Rav Yehuda's halacha, where although he's not careful, where although he's careful for achiv karis, that doesn't tell us that he's going to be careful for a lav ba'am over lisigzal, and therefore then we have to suspect him. But here, for sure, he's careful, and therefore we don't have to suspect him. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. In this case, hakol nemanim, everyone is believed. Al mumi ma'isa, regarding the blemishes of a person's ma'isa behema, which is a ma'isa behema, generally has to be the 10th animal is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So, regarding a case of suffig meiser, when we don't, it's a doubtful 10th animal. For example, if let's say the 9th animal coming out, they called it the 10th one. The Gemara says later on, Daf Nun Testament Aleph, that it cannot be eaten. The only way it's permissible is if it develops a blemish. So we're saying that everyone's believed to testify that the blemish happened by itself, and that's because of one goes ahead and does it deliberately, that's not permitted, but everyone's believed to say that it happened by itself. Says Gemara, my time, why is this different than the laws of Bechayr, where we said that the owners, the Kahanim, that they are suspected? Says Gemara, because we're going to believe him. Because if the owner really wanted to, he could have made a blemish in it before it was tithed, and therefore it would have already been that's not even prohibited, that would have preempted the whole thing. So if he didn't do that, and he's saying that it happened by itself, we believe him. That the Gemara wonders, mi yada hai nafik? What do I mean? Did the owner know which one is going to come out of the entryway, the 10th one, which is that's the one that becomes Maisa Behema, to have made a blemish in it beforehand? And v'chitem, if you're going to say, yeah, because Mapuk le Beresh Asar, he'll put that one out there in the front that it should be the 10th one, but the Pasuk tells us clearly, le'yavakar bin tayv l'ram rachman. The Torah says you cannot differentiate between the good and the bad when you cannot define which one's going to be the 10th one. It has to happen by itself. So how are you saying that he could have preempted it? Ella rather says the Gemara, because the Ibai, if the owner had wanted, he could have made a blemish in the whole flock beforehand. And that's not problematic, it's not kachim yet. And therefore, it would never have been something that's brought as a carbon, and definitely the doubtful one would have been right away permitted this suffix meiser. And therefore, since he could have done it in a permitted way, we believe him, that's this understanding of these migos, we believe him when he says it happened by itself. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of our parak, our Masechta. B'chayr shenis mis'enay. Regarding the firstborn animal that its eye got blinded, b'shnikta yadoy, or its hand got cut off, b'shnish b'ragloy, or if its foot broke, where these are all what's called mum muvuk. These are clearly defined blemishes. It doesn't need such professionalism to ascertain that it's a blemish that's kavua. So it says the Tanakh, ha'rezi yeshachet al-pi gimel b'nei ha'knesses. So even three people in shul that are not sages, three people go ahead and permit this b'chayr to be slaughtered and eaten. Rabbi Yisem, he disagrees. He says, no, even if there's 23, ain't nishchet el al pi mumcha. No, it could only be slaughtered based on the permissibility of a professional, of a sage. Now, relating to the halacha of a Mishnah, the Gemara tells Rabbi Simloi, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Tarvayim Mishmid, Rabbi Shuban Levi, Amri. They both said over the following halacha in name of Rabbi Shuban Levi. And some say, is Rabbi Simloi, Rabbi Shuban Levi, the Tarvai Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, Amri, that they both said over the name of Yehuda Nesiyah, the Hataras B'chayr B'chutz L'aretz, the permissibility of a firstborn animal out of Eretz Yisrael, which is never fit to be brought as a carbon, even when the Beis Hamikdash was around, as the Gemara says in Tumur Dav Chafal from a Beis, a Pishlesha B'nei HaKnesset, that can be permitted by the verification of three people in Shul. If they say that it's a blemish, that will permit it. Now, Amar Ravi says, but Obamumin Muvakin, has to be clearly defined, that straight up, no question whatsoever about it, that those type of Mumin can be permitted by even three people in Shul. Now, the Gemara wonders, my Kamash Malan. What's he teaching us? Tanina, that's halacha in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if the firstborn had its eye blinded, if hand was chopped off, if his leg was cut off, so these are mumin muvhakin. That we said, the three people in shul could go out and permit it. So if you're saying it's mumin muvhakin, that's already said in the Mishnah. What's Rava teaching us? Says the Gemara, Ima Misnitin, had we only had the halacha of the Mishnah, so Havimina, I would say, no, B'chutz Laretz, which was the case that they were discussing here in the Gemara, Afila Mumin She'in Mavakin. Actually, even if it's not clearly defined Mumin, that's of Nismis Einoi, Nikta Yadai, that's actually it would be permitted even with three people from Shul, because it's not something that's brought as a carbon anyway. V'haydiktan Mavakin, and so then why did they say in the Mishnah that specifically it's with Mavakin? That's lo diyecha keichad Reb Yesi. It was only because he wanted to say the strength of the disputant of Reb Yesi that he was saying that even if it's Mavakin, everyone knows it's a mum. Even so, he says it needs a mumcha. K'mash Shabalam, that's what Rav is teaching us to know that even the disputant, even the Tanit Kama, even Chutzlarts, we agree that even if we're saying that three people could permit it, but it has to be mum mufakin. If it's not mum mufakin, then you're right, it not be permitted with just three people without a mumcha. Now, Amr Yehuda, he says that Amr Yirmiya bar Abba, now he says, Safik is in doubt if Rabbi Yirmiya said it to me, Mishmei the Rav, in the name of Rav, Safik Mishmei the Shmuel, it's doubtful if he said it in the name of Shmuel, but he said the following halacha. He said, Gimel Matir Nesa Bechar. Three people could permit the firstborn animal, like we said, if it's mum mufakin, but Mokim Shei Mumcha, if there is no professional around. Now, the Gemara wonders, my Kamash Malan, what's he teaching us? Tanin in the Mishnah. Harizi Shachat Api Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. We said that it could be slaughtered by three people in Shul when it's Mumim Mavakin. Says the Gemara, no, even Masnid Habamina, if we only had the Mishnah, we would have said that it's even B'mokam Mumcha, even when there is a professional, still you don't need it because it's Mumim Mavakin and it can be permitted by three people in Shul. Kamash Malan, that's what he's teaching us, the B'mokam Shein Mumcha in. It's only when there's no professional, then you could have three people in Shul. But if there is a professional, then you can't do it by three people, you have to do it by the mumcha. Now continue on this theme, Amr Rav Chiya, and the gear says, Bar Oven Amr Rav Amram, that, as we said before, Gimel Matir Nesa B'chor B'mokam Shein Mumcha, three people can permit the firstborn animal, that it's a permanent blemish when it's Mavakin, when there is no mumcha, and Gimel Matir Nesa Neta B'mokam Shein Chacham, and so too, three regular people can permit a vow when there is no sage, who he's also the mumcha. If there's no chacham, then three people could permit it. Now, so the Gemara explains. When they said, Gimel Matir Nesa B'chor B'mokam Shein Mumcha, that three people could permit the firstborn animal when there is no sage, as we said there before, that's as a good tintab of Lamed Zayin Manaf, Lafukim Rabbi Yisi. This is coming to preclude from the opinion of Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah, who he said, no, that you always have to have a Mumcha. And when he says, Shleishim Efir Nesa Ned B'mokam Shein Chacham, the three regular people could annul a vow when there's no sage, that's Lafukim Rabbi Yehuda. Because the time you look in the Braisa, Hafaras and Dharma Gimel, like this halacha was saying, that yeah, three people could nullify a vow. Rabbi Yehuda Aima, he says, no, Echad Mem Chacham, at least one of them has to be a sage. So his halacha was coming to exclude from Rabbi Yehuda that no, even three regular people could do it. Now the Gemara wonders, B'makam Shein Chacham. So we said that's only when there's no sage. The inference is, but when there is a sage, that you don't need three people, that even the sage himself could permit and nullify the vow. Says the Gemara Kagoyin Man, for example, like who would be considered a Chacham? Some Rav Nachman, he says, Kagayna, not like someone like me. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Echad Mehen Chacham. Yehuda said, no, one of them has to be a sage. You can't have just three regular people. Now, the Gemara wonders, Mechlal Lahanach, the inference is that the other two are called who are just any type of people, even two ignoramuses, but are really Amaratzim fit to be combined for the Bezdin to nullify the vow? So Rav Nachman, he says, no, at least the Mistabrile. They're people that they could understand the reasoning and the understandings of the halachas and the dharm, visavar, and if someone explains it to them, they'll understand it. And that one sage will teach those other two, then together they could be the bezdin to nullify the vow, according to Yehuda. Now, Mishnah said to Yisim, he says, afila yesham chav gimel v'chulu, no, even if there's 23, you can't have regulars, it has to be a mumcha that's going to permit that and say that this is a blemish b'char. Amr Chanan Murav, he says, in halacha, Rabbi Yisrael, halacha is not like him, that even three regular people could go ahead and permit the Bechar. So the Gemara wants Pshita, obviously. Yachad v'Rab, Malach Kram. We know it's a famous halachic dictum that when you have an individual against the Rabbim, the many, which the Tanakama is the many, which is the Rabban, the halach is like the Rabbim. Why did you have to say halach is not like Rabbi Yisi? Says the Gemara, Ma'av d'tem, what would you say? The Gemara in Gittin tells us in Samach Zayin Mad Aleph that Rabbi Yisi, Nimukai, his reasoning, he would bring his reasoning everywhere. Every time he said a halacha, it would be Imai. He would have his reasoning with him, and therefore we should say the halacha is like him. Kamash Allah, that's what we say, no, halacha is not like him. Now the Gemara wonders now, Tifshid Maha, from this that we just said, this teaching, of Rav Chananel in the name of Rav, that said, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yisi. So let's resolve from that, the Hach Kamaisa, that the previous teaching we brought, that Rabbi Huda said, that it wasn't clear if it was the name of Rav or the name of Shmuel, that he said that three regular people could permit the firstborn animal, you should be able to resolve that Mishmei de Shmuel Itmer, that it was said in the name of Shmuel. Because the Mishmei de Rav, if that was said in the name of Rav, Tarti Lamali. Why do I need to say two different teachings of Rav two times? One that three people could permit the firstborn, and that the halach is not like a b'yisi, if that's the same thing. Saying halach is not like a b'yisi is saying that you don't need a mumchen, you could have three regular people. So he says, come on, no, it's not a raya, because chad de mechlal de chaver te itmer. We could say that one of those teachings was inferred from the other one, and you're right, maybe he only said it one time, and it was inferred that if you're not like a b'yisi, obviously three could go ahead and permit it, and therefore it still wasn't, still not clear to verify if that teaching was said over the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel.